How appropriate it is to sing those songs of calling upon the Lord and humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, because talking about the devil this quarter, that's what it's going to take in order to be successful. If we're going to be successful against the adversary, we have to put ourselves in the position to call upon the Lord. We have to remain in position by being humble in the sight of the Lord. And so keep those things in mind. Talking about the devil, talking about Satan, adversary, the accuser of the brethren, there are so many things that we can talk about as it relates to the one who goes against the very morality of God himself. God himself is the essence of morality. When you think about morality, think about God. For this reason, man cannot come up with his own standard of morality. God has given us the standard of morality, and it behooves us to live up to that standard. And so as we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what a blessing it is that he gives us time to grow into the person of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said on one occasion, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." And so what is Jesus saying? "I am the one who come forth from the Father. I have his mindset. I think like him. We think alike." And so when we consider the devil doesn't think like God. As a matter of fact, he thinks contrary to God. And so we have to keep that in mind as well as the people of God. And I'm talking to Christians. As the people of God, we have to do our best to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse number 5. There are a few things I want us to consider. Number one, that Satan, of course, is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12 and verse 10. Satan himself deceives, and there's no truth in him. Now, think about that, friends. Jesus said with his own mouth that there is no truth in the devil. None. None. Zero truth in the devil. And so since there's no truth in the devil, we have to keep in mind that the devil himself will put us in a position to be hindered. What do I mean by that? Friends, God has given us free will. And we can make a decision whether we're going to follow after the Lord's teaching or we're going to follow after the influences of the world. What do we mean by that? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, I'm referring to that particular passage because there are some things in those particular verses that I want us to consider. Notice, in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, here the Bible says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins," notice the past tense language there, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Now notice this, "the spirit," or the attitude, "who now works in the sons of disobedience." Well, what's the opposite of the sons of disobedience? The sons of obedience. And those who are obedient are those who walk according to the Spirit's teaching, Galatians 5, verse number 16, and not after the flesh. But notice what he goes on to say. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," literally in the Greek, "long practice, the children of wrath." Now think about this. I can focus my attention on things that are contrary to the will of God so long that it becomes second nature. Well, if that's true, Evelyn, the opposite is true. That I can focus on the things of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, so long that walking according to God's will is second nature. It almost becomes a point where I don't even think about it. I'm just doing God's will because I've been doing it so long. That's interesting. Is that where God wants us to be? You better believe he wants us to be right there. He wants you to be walking after his son for so long that you don't even think about it. It is just second nature that you're doing his will.
And so we need to keep that in mind, that what is Satan trying to do? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 18, Satan is trying to hinder. He's trying to stop. He doesn't want us to be walking according to the Spirit's teaching. He wants us to be walking according to our own flesh, our own desires, our own will. He wants us to be people who are covetous. He wants us to be people who hate. He wants us to be people who are racist. He wants us to be people who are fornicators and adulterers. He wants us to be those type of people. And friends, God's people shouldn't be like that. As a matter of fact, Paul would tell the church at Ephesus that these things should not even be named once among you as becoming saints. And so we have to keep these things in mind, that we are walking this tightrope, the tightrope of Jesus Christ. Go to James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, verse number 14 through 16, any thought process or any lifestyle, any word, any concept that is contrary to the word of God, the will of God, is demonic. Now, that's tough right there. Because Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe to him who call evil good and good evil, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Sometimes we come up with our own definitions of things. However, in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, and I believe this is a message that we need to be taking to our friends, our family members who are not thinking correctly. Those who are in the world who have the mentality that they operate by the own beat of their drum. No. As the people of God, we don't beat to our own drum. God beats our drum. He's the one that demonstrates to us how to live this life. James chapter 3, starting at verse number 14, he says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, notice where it is in your heart. Do not boast and lie against the truth. That's a powerful passage, because sometimes we can lie to ourselves. We can lie against the truth, even when people confront us with it. But notice the next passage. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above. Meaning it doesn't come from God, but it's earthly, down here, sensual, dealing with the flesh, dealing with the senses, and it's demonic. It's devilish. And so when we consider these things, friends, we have to always be on guard. I was talking to someone just the other day, and he said something powerful that I've been thinking about here for the last few hours. And it is that I always got to be watching my life, that I don't get caught up in this. Do you know Christianity is about discipline? It's about telling ourselves yes to the things God wants us to say yes to, and no to those things that God says no to. Now, we live in a world today where they say, well, you don't have to live like that. That's just too straight. Well, heaven is for holy people. That's it. Now, we can sit here and sugarcoat, and we can be here and make you feel good in your sin, but Jesus will say, depart from me. And sometimes we'll get mad at people because they tell us the truth, but God is truth, and the devil is a lie. And if the devil can help us, and I say it that way, if he can help us to feel comfortable in our sin, he's doing a good job. We shouldn't feel comfortable in sin. But how do we get past this? How do we get over the doubt? How do we get over the blindness? How do we get over the ignorance? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, here we have the prescription to an ill heart, to a heart that has been intoxicated with sin, to a heart that has been wrapped up by the devil, if I can say it that way. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 through 26, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all. Notice this. Able to teach, patient, and humility. Here's the operative word, correcting. I believe the King James Version uses the word instructing. The idea of instructing there is very powerful, because it literally means to educate, to chasten, to untwist. To help the one that has been twisted up in the grasp of Satan to come out of his grasp. Frederick Douglass said on one occasion that in order to come out of slavery, one has to read himself out of it. You want to come out of spiritual slavery, you got to read yourself out of it. You got to read yourself out of slavery. And so faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so notice what he goes on to say. Y'all looking at me funny. Still true. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Notice this. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, and here it is, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. Which demonstrates that when someone is in the grasp of Satan or in the grip of sin, in essence, God says they have lost their minds. No wonder. Repentance. Metanoia is the Greek word there. Literally means to come to your right mind. I remember when I was a kid, Mama used to say, boy, have you lost your mind? She put that strap on me, then I gained it back. Those whom God loves, he chastens. There's nothing wrong with chastening. Parents, whip your kids if you have to. If not, when you get older, they will whip you. Okay, let me keep going. And escape the snare of the devil. Here it is. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. Literally, they are intoxicated with error. They are drunk with sin. And so what does the gospel teacher, or what does the Christian responsibility, what is his or her responsibility as a Christian? Is to help people by correcting them with the word of God, come untwisted, come out of the grips, out of the grasp of Satan, in order for them to do what? Come to repentance. Change their mind. And so, how else can we come out of the grip of the devil? Turn to Revelation chapter 12. And then we'll end with the verse that Nathaniel referred to in class. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11, I believe that this passage here will really help us. Because how did those in the first century overcome the devil, his devices, the blindness? How did they overcome? Verse number 11. And they overcame him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. How much do you love you? If I love me more than I love God, I'm in for a long road. And I'm in for eternity that's not going to be good. And so this is the prescription as well, that I can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, and by not loving myself more than what I'm supposed to. James chapter 4, we'll end with this. In James chapter 4 and verse number 7, if we're going to overcome the devil, we have to first submit to God. We have to relinquish control. That means that in order for me to truly have the right mindset, I have to immerse myself into his thoughts. I can't operate on my own thoughts. It's amazing how sometimes we operate so much on our own thoughts that we think they're God's thoughts. We have thoughts to a point where we think that God said it, and it doesn't even match up even close to what God has said. And people swear up and down the Holy Spirit's talking to them because it sounds good in their head. Friends, be careful. Don't lie to yourself. We know what God is thinking by his word. And that's why we can't change it. And that's why we submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to go on a sprint. He's going to run. You want to put the devil on the run? Submit to God. You want to put the devil on the run? Stay away from those places where the devil is. And so, husbands, stay away from places you don't need to be. Wives, stay from places you don't need to be. Children, listen to your parents and stay away from places where you know the devil is. Single folk, be careful. Stay close to God. Old folk, don't get lazy. Stay strong. Stay straight. And you'll end up where God is. and that's glory. One goal, and one goal only. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things that make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of our Lord. It's the only goal we have. Any other goal, we'll lose. So therefore, let's stay with the goal that God has given us. And the Lord will say some good things to us on that day. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be a child of God because that's the only way that you can be saved if you have committed sin. Keep in mind that Jesus himself is not the author of sin. The devil is. Sin is transgressing against God's law. It's going against what God has said. 1 John 3:4. And so if you have committed sin, the only way you can get rid of sin, the only way that sin can be remitted, the only way that sin can be removed is by the blood of Christ. That's the only way. And so you come in contact with that blood in baptism. This is why baptism is essential. It's necessary. You can't ask Jesus in your heart and have your sins washed away. You got to go down in the water through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll clear your conscience. He'll clean your conscience of dead works that you may serve him, the living God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for your remission of your sins. Maybe you're a child of God. You've been holding hands with the devil. You know what? Every now and then we do that. We take on his mindset. We do things we ain't got no business doing. We got to rationalize in our mind. Do I really want to stop this? We do that. That's holding hands with the devil. Let's not do that. We hold hands with God. Because you can't hold hands with God and hold hands with the devil. Because God is a jealous God. And he don't play that. Jesus Christ don't have concubines. He don't have side shots. And he has one wife. It's called the Church of Christ. That's the one that he's going to come back for. As we stand, as we sing, say his invitation.